May Allah heal you from whatever pain you are suffering from. May Allah heal you from whatever pain you are suffering from.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, welcome to another inspirational and uplifting episode on the silsila Spiritual Cures. Wherever you may be in the world, whichever hemisphere, whichever country, whichever city, we hope that you and your family are safe and sound. And a reminder for you and I that when we make dua for ourselves, our family members, our community, then include the ummah as well. Make dua to Almighty Allah Jalla Jalaluhu that for the sake of His beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wa Alihi Wasallam, who is His final and last Prophet, that He Azza wa Jal grants relief to the Ummah, shifa to those who are sick, who are suffering from whatever type of ailment, and protection against the oppressors. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, once again, we bring some calls, some questions on different aspects, difficulties that are being faced by the Ummah. So stay tuned. If possible, grab a pen and paper. It's good to have a diary, a journal that you can write down the important Madani pearls of advices, the litanies, the wadaif and awrad, and use it as a reference book. And you can share this with others as well. When you hear the calls, who knows, maybe you will be experiencing those difficulties, or maybe those questions are also in your mind and you can apply what we will share, or you know somebody who's going through the difficulties and share it with them with good intentions, you will earn reward. The beloved Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said, Niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. So don't delay. Make those good intentions today. Let's make some now that, oh Allah Azza wa Jal, I am watching, I am listening to this silsila for your pleasure and happiness, for the pleasure of your beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What I learn, I will try to practice and share with others as well. Insha Allahul Kareem. Time is fast, life is short, the past is gone and cannot be changed. The future is uncertain. What matters is the present, is the now. So how am I living this short, precious life? Because I know, I acknowledge that all of a sudden, the angel of death is going to visit me as well. And once I leave this world, there's no coming back. And so let's be smart and intelligent, and reconnect with the glorious Qur'an. As His Eminence Amir Ahl-Sunnah Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah, the founder of Dawud Islami, a great saint and scholar of Islam, advises, start with a minimum of 3 verses of the Qur'an Sharif, but every day. Go over the translation from Kanzul Iman, the commentary from Miftahul Ihsan, every day. Include part of our daily routine to recite large amounts of salawat, durud pak, istighfar, make sincere tawbah, repent sincerely every day. And throughout your day, make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every day, do your best to read your 5 daily salahs properly, to fulfill rights of others, to abstain from sins, to learn and practice upon the sunnah, learn a dua or something of deen for the day, and obey Allah and His Rasul. Azza wa Jalla wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The one who recites salawat, durud pak, 1,000 times every day, will not die until he sees his place in Jannah. Tell me who doesn't want that? That when you're leaving this world, before you leave, you will be shown your place in paradise. Let's stop wasting our time and engaging in frivolous activities, useless conversations that have no real benefit. We will request our beloved director Saab and team to please go ahead with the first call for today. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Hope you are keeping well. My question for today is, when a person experiences sudden panic attacks that disrupt their daily life, what steps should they take to regain control and find emotional stability?
Ameen wa iyyakum. Panic attacks, which nowadays is common. Almost every second, third home, somebody there experiences panic attacks. But what is the root cause of this? Now, the experts in the field, they mention that it could be linked to a combination of things, like a traumatic and or a very stressful life experience, like the losing somebody that was close to you. It could be an imbalance of neurotransmitters, those chemical messengers in the brain. So it could be something which the person has experienced in life which was traumatic, or it could be some chemical imbalance in the body. Of course, visit the doctor. They would have a better understanding of what could be the possible reasons or causes of one's panic attack. If a person experiences panic attacks, then there are certain things that can prove very beneficial, but some training is required. Mind is a very powerful thing. Very powerful. We need to train our brain in order to calm down a panic attack. If you experience a panic attack, you feel it's difficult to breathe, just pause and focus on your breathing with slow, deep breaths. Ground yourself by engaging your senses and focus on your surroundings, and remind yourself that this attack, this panic attack, is temporary and not life-threatening. There is a 3-3-3 rule, the 3-3-3 rule, for those people who experience panic attacks. It's a simple grounding technique to manage a panic attack by focusing on three things that you can see. Focus when you are in that condition of having a panic attack. Of course, this is, again, we need to train ourselves beforehand so that when the panic attack starts, I must activate my brain to look and focus on three things that I can see, three things that I can hear, and three things that you can touch or move. What this does is, it's something psychological. It's a form of redirection to the senses, and it helps to interrupt anxious thoughts. It calms a person down mentally and physically and helps to restore control. And one other thing, in fact, we should start with this. Start reciting salawat, Durood Sharif, as much as you can, but don't rush it, slowly. Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This will also help to calm you. Salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulallah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. Recite Durood Pak. Recite Dhikrullah. Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah. Focus. This is also a form of redirection. The one who experiences panic attacks often should try and be in wudu most of the time. Of course, punctuality with the performance of salah is necessary. When you feel this kind of attack coming on, or if you are extremely stressed out, extremely worried, make wudu calmly. Drink some water, cool water. This will physically calm you down and cool you down. Recite Surah Al-Ikhlas, Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad, 7 times. With Durood Sharif, once before and after, then do dam, blow into a cup of water and drink this. Drink according to the sunnah and adab. Before you drink, sit down, look into the vessel, hold with your right hand and recite Bismillah, 3 breaths after drinking, Alhamdulillah. Practice upon this once daily. After every salah, fard salah, recite 100 times Allahu Samad. Of course, if there is sunnah after the fard salah, then this will be recited after the sunnah. 100 times Allahu Samad, Allahu Samad, Allahu Samad. And this helps for protection against tension, worry, sadness, grief, etc. And recite properly Allahu Samad. Try to keep the sunnah fast of Mondays. Try to fast on Thursday, the nafil fast. Ayyamul Bid, 13th, 14th and 15th of every lunar month. After your salahs, make dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if possible, wake up the Hajjud time and make dua for this difficulty to be removed from your life. Give some sadaqah, some charity, and help to uplift another person. All these things will help along the way. So, for panic attacks, you may also recite the beautiful verse of the Holy Quran. Upon completing salah, place your right hand, your palm, over your heart and recite, Allah bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Pay heed, only in the remembrance of Allah is the satisfaction of hearts. Then you may place your hand on the upper part of your forehead, and after every salah, recite the following. Bismillahilladhi la ilaha illa huwa ar-Rahmanur Rahim. Allahumma adhhib 'anni al-hamma wal-huzn wa 'an ahli sunnah. Then bring your hand up to your forehead after you have recited it. The translation of this is Subhanallah, Allah's name to commence with, except whom none is worthy of worship, the most kind, the most merciful. Oh Allah Azza wa Jal, distance grief and anxiety from me and the Ahl Sunnah. The reciter will be secured from every type of grief and anxiety through the mercy of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So try to practice upon this. Or if you know somebody who has panic attacks, especially if they are frequent, share it with them. Inshallah al-Kareem, it will help them. Please go ahead with the next call. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
My question is, how can one protect their tongue from backbiting, especially in social settings where negative talk?
Allah, backbiting, ghiba is such a dirty thing. It's a cancer. It is a spiritual sickness that so many are afflicted with. We need to understand what backbiting is. We need to understand what does Islam highlight and warn about backbiting. What are the consequences? It's a great harm and there's great punishment for it. So this is where knowledge comes into play. It's so important. We need to learn about spiritual sicknesses, spiritual diseases. There are so many. Spiritual maladies of jealousy and pride and showing off and hatred and malice. And we need to learn about these things. We need to learn what their symptoms are and what cures are there. And one of them is backbiting. Almighty Allah Jalla Jalaluhu states in Surah Al-Hujurat, verse 12, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا يغتب بعضكم بعضا أيحب أحدكم أن يأكل لحم أخيه ميتا فكرهتموه. Translation from Kanz al-Iman. And do not backbite one another. Would any one of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? You would not tolerate it. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam once asked, do you know what is backbiting? It was humbly replied, Allahu Rasulu a'lam. Allahu Azza wa Jal and his beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam know better. And then the beloved and blessed Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, backbiting is that you talk about your brother in a way which he dislikes. It was humbly asked, what if he has the fault? And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, if he has the fault that you are talking about, you have committed backbiting against him. And if he doesn't have the fault, you have slandered him. Dear viewers and listeners, how common is the spiritual malady of backbiting? Gossiping. Some people, they want to hear the juicy gossips. It's a form of entertainment for them. Little do they realize they are piling sins upon sins in their book of deeds. And the hard-earned good deeds is going to that person that they are backbiting about. Because the person is absent and we are talking bad about them. That if they were present, they wouldn't like what we are saying about them. So this is backbiting. Some people justify, but what I'm saying is the truth. According to the blessed hadith, that is what backbiting is. And if what I'm saying is false, is a lie, it is buhtan, it is slander, which is worst. Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam ordered us, لا تغتاب المسلمين. Do not backbite Muslims. The right thing to do is, if the man has a fault, be sincere. Be in contact with him. Inform him that you need to discuss something privately, away from the ears and eyes of others. That's the right thing to do. And then let him know. Maybe you notice something, he does something, he says, that will be doing him a favor. If you correct your brother privately, you have done him a favor. If you have done so in public, in front of others, you have humiliated him. And the backbiter, the one who talks bad about others behind their back, in their absence, they do this because they have an audience to listen to the juicy gossip. And the listener of backbiting is also included amongst the backbiters. The listener of backbiting is also one of the backbiters. If you are having a conversation with somebody and they steer that conversation in the direction of backbiting, then stop them. You don't need to start screaming and shouting. Sorry, please change the topic. Or bring it to their attention that this could be considered as backbiting. Or you change the topic. Or you excuse yourself. If we are entertaining the backbiter, we are one of them. We have so many faults, yet we have time to pick out faults in others. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wa sallam has said, good news is for the one whose faults prevent him from finding faults with others. There's a good news for that person. Does that good news apply to me? Ask yourself. I need to ask myself as well. Does it apply to me that I rather spend my time focusing on my faults, on rectifying myself, on reforming myself, instead of searching for faults in others? You search, you will find mistakes, shortcomings, weaknesses. You're going to find it. Many. If others search, they will certainly find lots of weaknesses and shortcomings in us as well. Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has also stated, the person who conceals the fault of his brother after seeing it will be made to enter Jannah, paradise. You saw the fault of your fellow Muslim brother. What did you do? Did you run with it and advertise it like some juicy gossip? You know what I heard? You know what I saw? That guy, what he did. There's so many examples. His Eminence, Amir Ahl-Sunnat, Sheikh al-Tariqat, Hazrat Allama Mawlana Abu Bilal Muhammad Ilyas al-Tar, Qadri, Razvi, Ziyai, Damat Barakatum al-Aliyah, the founder of Dawud Islami, Ikamil Wali of Allah Azawajal, a great saint and scholar of Islam who is followed by tens of millions around the world, has done us a favor by compiling an encyclopedia about backbiting with hundreds of examples. It's called Backbiting, a Cancer of Society. You can obtain the book from Maktabatul Madina, which is the bookshop and publications department of Dawud Islami, or you can download the free PDF from dawudislami.net. And once you start reading it, once you start studying it, you will feel that rather just keep quiet. Because many of those examples that are there, many of us are committing. The Mulana Sahib came to deliver a bayan. That Mulana, he thinks he knows better than us, more than us. He thinks like this, he thinks like that. Or talking some other negative aspect, which can be detrimental to Iman. When Nad Khan came, he's a show-off man. See, you saw how he tried to different styles in order to make the audience fall for his lovely tunes. Kari Sahib came, some negativity there. Why can't we look for the positive? Are our minds so negative, so dirty, that it's easy to find negatives, to say negative things? And if it constitutes to backbiting, it's a major sin. And my good deeds are going to that person. It reminds me of a parable. There was an Imam Sahib, and one of his musallis, a man used to perform salah behind him, that is his Imam. But he came to know that he is the number one backbiter about the Imam Sahib. The Imam Sahib called him one day. He thought, why is Imam Sahib calling me? Does he know that I talk negative about him? But what happened shocked him. The Imam Sahib said, I'm giving you this gift. He gave him some money. He said, every month you must come to me. I want to give you this gift, money. He was happy. He went on his way. Next month came. He went to the Imam Sahib. He gave him some money as a gift. This happened for 2-3 months. And his honorable wife told him, how shameful you are. That Imam Sahib, you read Salah behind him. He gives you a gift every month and you talk bad about him. You backbite about him. How shameful is that? So he thought to himself, yeah, you're right, man. He said, I make an intention to stop backbiting about the Imam Sahib. He stopped. That news reached the ears of the Imam Sahib. Come month end, no gift, no money from the Imam Sahib. Next month, no gift, no money. He comes to the Imam Sahib. He says, Imam Sahib, you was giving me a couple of months some gift. But why, what happened? You stopped? So Imam Sahib said, I came to know from third parties that you were backbiting about me by doing that. Your good deeds were coming to me as a form of thank you. I was giving you that money as a gift every month. Then I found out you stopped backbiting about me. So I'm not getting your rewards, your good deeds. There's no need for the gift anymore to give to you. It's just a parable. But the reality is our good deeds are being transferred to the person that we're talking bad about. If we busy ourselves with our own shortcomings, believe me, we won't have time to find faults with others and backbite about them. Whenever you intend to talk about the faults of somebody, remember your own faults. And how the honorable scholars mention, before you say anything or do anything, think certain things in your mind. For example, they say, first think, what I'm about to say or do, will it lead to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or His displeasure? Will it be written as a good deed or a bad deed in my book of deeds? Will it cause me to be happy or to become disgraced on the day of judgment? Will it lead me to the path of paradise or the hellfire? Think these things and then you wait. Should I or I should not? This is how we can train ourselves. Focus on our own faults that we have just too many of. It will help us. Focus on the consequences of backbiting. All these things. And make dua. Whatever spiritual ailment that you have, and we have plenty, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That for the sake of His beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He helps us to get rid and purify our internal self from all of these spiritual maladies. Please go ahead with the next call. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
My question is, when someone feels trapped in depression and emotional heaviness, what practical and spiritual steps can help them begin the journey toward healing?
Allahu Akbar. Another issue that has become widespread. I think maybe a few decades back, this was hardly heard of. I'm sure our grandparents or great-grandparents, they never heard about this thing. They lived extremely productive lives. There was no time to become depressed. But it is a serious matter, which is on the rise, which is creating psychological and mental issues, even amongst our Muslim communities. From time to time, each and every one of us will experience some type of sorrow, grief, worry, anxiety. And if we don't control this thing, if left uncontrolled, and if it prolongs a few days, 1 week, 2 weeks, it's going to negatively affect our lives and make us slip into a phase of depression. Now, there could be too many reasons. And each person's case might be different. There might be some similar things, but each case might be different. The person could have lost a loved one, a close relative, somebody who was close to them, a friend, the occurrence of a divorce, the loss of a job, failing an examination, some sickness. Different types of physical illnesses are on the rise. Cancer is there, heart problems is there, chronic issues, breathing problems. And some people are at greater risk of suffering from depression than others. It could also be the personality of the person or even childhood events and experiences. The person could be suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. And so it's good to try and identify what is it, or what things are there which are making me feel negative and keeping me in this depressional phase. It's not necessary for all these symptoms to be found in every single patient, but four things in particular. If a person is experiencing, then there's a possibility he is actually suffering from depression. If the person constantly remains restless, distressed, sorrowful, negative, if a person is uninterested in doing things that they previously enjoyed, if they feel physical fatigue, weakness, they're not able to function properly or focus on daily activities in the home, at work, school, madrasa, if they have a low self-esteem, so that inferiority complex now develops in their minds. There is a decrease in self-confidence. They consider themselves useless. They blame everything on themselves. They lose hope. Their sleep is disturbed. They lose their appetite. And that leads to suicidal thoughts in many cases, or even attempted suicide. Allah, the person who is suffering from depression needs moral support more than ever. They need people who are positively charged around them. There must be at least one person that they can pour their heart out to, that those heavy burdens on their shoulders, on their chest, which makes them feel like they're suffocating, they need a release. They need to vent it out. And sometimes they just want you to listen, and they feel so much better thereafter. If there's a need, make an appointment with a doctor, with a psychologist, a psychiatrist, because we need to take charge of our emotions. And this is where emotional intelligence comes into play. That this problem I'm having, many others are also having it. This issue that I'm having, I need to train my brain to start focusing on positive. Make a list of things that you are grateful for. Family, spouse, your place to stay, meals, opportunities in life that you had. Read good, wholesome books. Amir Ahl-Sunnah Damat Barakatum Al-Ali has books like Cure for Anger, Suicide is Not the Answer, Satanic Whispers and Cures for Them. Consume good, wholesome foods, fresh fruits, vegetables. Make a list of what things in your life that is causing these problems, that triggers it. And I want to share with you before we conclude, in the two sunan of Fajr Salah and the sunan after the Fard Salahs of Dhuhr, Maghrib and Isha, recite the last six surahs of the Quran Sharif after Suratul Fatiha in the following manner: Suratul Kafirun, Suratul Nasr, Suratul Lahab, Surah Ikhlas, Surah Falaq, and Suratul Nas in the second rakat. Read Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim at the beginning of each surah and continue with this practice until you see positive results. Until next time, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
May Allah heal you from whatever.